It was a very wonderful worship unto the Lord, and indeed the Lord's presence is upon us. Okay, let's begin by reading the Word of God from Exodus chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings from your wives, your sons and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people whom you brought out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you a great nation." Verse 19, when Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them into pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf the people had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it into powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such a great sin?" "Do not be angry, my Lord," Aaron said. "You know how these people, you know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." So I told them, "Whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off." Then they gave me the gold and I threw it into the fire. And out came this calf. Verse 25, and Moses saw the people were running wild and Aaron had let them get out of hand, out of control, and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. In verse 30, the next day Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make an atonement for your sin." So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." And the Lord replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin." And the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf Aaron had made. In the prelude to what we have just read concerning the golden calf, Moses had led the Israelites out of their slavery in Egypt, and they have walked their way through the wilderness and now have come to the foot of Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There the Lord made a covenant of promises and obligations, including the Ten Commandments. This is now the third month after they have left Egypt. And they came in front of Mount Sinai. They had experienced the deliverance the Lord had given them, with even signs and wonders. And God spoke to Moses to tell the people, "Now, if you will obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of the nations, of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession." And the people responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." And this is in Exodus chapter 19, verse 8. The first and most important command that the Lord had given was that they should not worship other gods or make any idols to worship. Any idols of any kind that they are not to worship. And the Israelites agreed 3 times. In fact, they agreed not only in Exodus chapter 19, but they also agreed in Exodus chapter 24, when they said, "Everything that the Lord has said to me, we will do." And so, Moses, he wrote everything the Lord has said and commanded, and the very next morning, he read out to them. And again, in Exodus 24, verse 7, they say, "We will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey." So, in all this, they agreed to obey and entered into this covenant with the Lord. But the Israelites, as soon as they have agreed, they have forgotten. And so came to this part where they broke the covenant and they made the golden calf. And the Lord called Moses. What had happened was, after they agreed 3 times that they will enter into this covenant with the Lord, the Lord then called Moses to come up to the mountain to receive the tablet of stone that the Lord will inscribe the commands, and so that they will also understand what the commandments mean. And so Moses was up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And here down below, the people we have just read went to Aaron and asked Aaron to make for them a god that they can see. They were not familiar with a god that they cannot see. So they wanted to have a god that they could see, a god that they can carry about, rather than a god who will lead them. And they came to Aaron with such a demanding behavior. And then they also did not show any respect to their leader, because they said, "As for this fellow Moses," this is how people talk when they do not respect a person, and they say, "This fellow Moses." And so that was the attitude of the people. And so Aaron agreed with them, and they together fell into this sin. The golden calf is about the big sin of idolatry. And what is idolatry? Idolatry is the reverence given to something or to someone other than God, as though that thing or that person is God. But what seems very unusual is that they fell into this sin so soon after they have agreed to enter into the covenant, so soon after they have seen the miracles that have taken place. They witnessed the miracles and the manifestation of the Lord upon them. First, when God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, he said, "I will lay my hand on Egypt with mighty acts of judgment, and I'll bring the Israelites out of it." And then they saw what happened in Egypt. They saw the 10 plagues, the turning of the river Nile into blood, the plagues of the frogs, the flies, the locusts, and so on. And finally, the plague of the firstborn of Egypt. And when they left Egypt, there was this pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, so that they could see where they were going. And the pillar of cloud and fire is God leading them and showing them the way out into the promised land. And when they came to the Red Sea, they saw the hand of the Lord upon the Egyptians. They were spared, the water parted, and they were able to cross. And so the Lord delivered them, and off they went, and they went into the desert on their way to the promised land. And in the desert road, as they were walking in the desert, the Lord provided them food and water. And when they had to fight with the Amalekites, the Lord was with them. When Moses prayed, they were winning the battle. When Moses got tired and put his hands down, they were losing. And so they held Moses' hands up again and he prayed. And the deliverance of the Lord came and the Amalekites were defeated. They went through all this. And then finally now, at the foot of Mount Sinai, they saw Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, and the manifestation of the Lord was upon them. And when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance because they were fearful. So they stayed at a distance. And so all these people saw God in a way that few had seen. And yet, even with such recent encounters with God, they seem to have no effect on them. And God said, "For God had told them, do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourself gods of silver or gold." But they seem to have forgotten, and they made it. And they broke covenant with God. And they paid dearly for this. So, the golden calf is a very valuable lesson for us concerning the blatant disobedience that came about in the disguise, in the cloak of celebrating God. They wanted to worship God and to celebrate their victory and the hand of the Lord upon them, but they celebrated in the wrong way. They celebrated in a way that they want. They celebrate by worshiping in the way and the style that they want. And so, when Moses came down from the mountain and he approached the camp and saw what was happening, the dancing, the revelry, and so on, and anger burned upon him. And he threw the tablets. Both the tablets, he threw it and it broke to pieces. This tablet is bigger than your own tablet. It's 18 inches by 12 inches. It's about the size of your A3 paper. Heavy. precious because it was inscribed by none other than the finger of God. But before, up in the mountain, Moses was telling God, why be so angry with these people? Because he had not seen what was actually taking place. And when he came down and he saw what was taking place, anger came upon him, holy anger. And he threw the tablets down and he broke to pieces. This was a very historical and a biblical blot upon the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And that this story is again repeated in other books in the Bible, in Acts and in Psalm. And it serves to remind us, it serves to teach us not to fall into such sins. And so we better take note of this and look at what happened so that we will not repeat the mistakes that the Israelites did. It's actually that they lack the acknowledgement of God and lack the gratitude to Him who had done so much for them. And the question I ask is it possible that God is so near to us and yet we fail to honor Him? Is it possible that we are in the presence of God and yet we fail to honor Him? And the Israelites, they had seen all the miracles, miracles after miracles, and they were here in the presence of God at the foot of the mountain, and yet they showed irreverence. We fall into idolatry when we give anything or anyone the reverence that is due to the Lord our God. We need to check and identify what are the idolatrous practices in our lives today. As for the Israelites then, they had taken the covenant with God lightly. And also, coupled with that, their worldview of God was that based on the old cultural God, the gods of the Egyptians that they have seen and the gods of others around them. And the bull gods of the Egyptians was quite prominent. And in fact, there are two Egyptian gods by the name of Hapi, or sometimes called Apis, and Hathor. They were thought of as bulls. The Canaanites that were close to them also worshipped Baal. And there were many idols with human figure but the head of a bull. And this, the bull head, represents power, virility and fertility, and closely connected to immoral sexual practices. So, the Israelites, fresh from Egypt, found it quite natural to make the gold calf to represent the God who had just delivered them from the oppressors. The Israelites may have even thought that they were actually worshipping God. In any case, they were weary and not used to having a God without a face. They were eager to worship a God that they could see. And as for Aaron, he failed in his leadership. He played along with the people and complied with their wishes to make the golden calf. And so, all together, 600,000 men with him. And if you add the women and the children, close to 3 million altogether, they all fell into this sin, the sin of idolatry. They broke their covenant with God. They wanted to worship God in the way that they want to, the way that they are familiar with. And so that was what happened. But even when we ourselves do not make an idol to pray unto an idol, we are often guilty to make God in our image. We look at God and we want God to represent what our desires are. And so, in so doing, we worship ourselves rather than we worship the Almighty God. It's self-worship. And just as the Israelites did at that time, and then it leads them all the way to all kinds of immorality. And the sin of idolatry is a great sin. And Moses himself acknowledged by telling Aaron, "What great sin have you made the people commit?" The very next day, he spoke to the Israelites and he said, "You have committed a great sin." So twice he said what they did was a great sin. And if you add up the prayer that he made before God, he went up to the mountain and he made an atonement and he prayed, "Oh Lord, the people have done a great sin." So recorded, Moses said two times and one more time in his prayer. Three times. In making and worshipping the golden calf, the Israelites broke the second commandment. It's a great insult to God. The people made the offerings and the sacrifices, and Aaron and the four priests did the religious act that was supposed to be made only to God and none other. And so when this was happening, God said that they have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it. And when they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt," they also violate the first commandment, that is, "You shall have no other gods before me." And so in their sin, they did another great sin. And they were practicing a form of idolatry called syncretism, which is a mix-up. It is worshipping other things, worshipping other gods, worshipping other values in the name of your religion, in the name of God, and attributing glory to false gods instead of the true God. They may think they celebrate the glory of God, but their idolatrous heart, in their idolatrous heart, they succumb to the disgraceful ways. So, the sin of idolatry, what they did was this: they worshipped the calf and engaged in all kinds of evil practices. And they thought they were worshipping God. In their partying and merrymaking and drinking, dancing and singing loudly, noisily in fact, they were also having illicit sex. Is this the kind of worship that you give unto the Lord? And how does God view this? God said, "These are stiff-necked people." And in God's anger, he was going to destroy them. Stiff-necked means that they are very haughty and stubborn, bent towards doing their own way, and obtuse. Not just their own way, but it's obtuse to the way of God. As the people of God, we are supposed to walk in the way of holiness, not to walk in our own way, obtuse to the way of God. And God's anger, God's righteous anger was upon them. And the Lord said, "I want to destroy them." So, why is this such a great sin? It's a great sin also because it brings about a great consequence. So the great consequence of this great sin is this, that firstly, God disowns covenant breakers. So you see in the passage, God said to Moses, go down because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. Previously, God had always said in so many references there that you are my treasured possession. You are my people. But now, God has disowned them. And God told Moses, these are your people whom you brought out. Very serious, isn't it? When we break covenant with God, God disowns covenant breakers. Not only that, the second thing that took place was that the great sin invites destruction. And the next day, 3,000 people died. And these are the people who were the hardcore. They refused to change. They continued and they wanted to continue to pray to the golden calf. After all, they have invested all their gold into this calf. So they were bent on their ways, and so destruction came to them. On that day, the next morning, 3,000 of them died. The third thing is the Lord said that whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out from the book of life. So we want our name to be in the book of life. We don't want our name having entered into the book of life to be blotted out. But when we break covenant with God, the name can be blotted out. And the fourth thing that we were told that happened to the Israelites was that they were struck with plague. And the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf that Aaron had made. Earlier we sang this song, may your presence go with us. It's a very wonderful thing when we are found in the presence of God. And we will be in the presence of God when we continue to walk with Him in our covenant relationship. Honoring Him, obeying Him, and our ways will prosper because the presence of God will be upon us. And this should be our desire, that we will always be found in the presence of God, that God will be upon us. And so, we must therefore be watchful that we do not get ourselves out of this presence of God. And so, we need to know and we need to avoid entering into this sin of idolatry. The golden calf shows us our susceptibility to turn our eyes away from God. And Exodus 32 is about idolatry. The Israelites prayed to the calf image, bowing to it and make sacrifices because Egypt remained in their heart. They may have left Egypt, but Egypt remained in their heart. And the thing is this, that having come into God's presence, what is in our heart? We have to love the Lord with all our heart. But what is in our heart? Sometimes we let the heart be contaminated. And so, it's important for us to know what are the forms of idolatry in our modern day setting. And so I've listed here some of the modern day idolatry practices. As you go through, how do you find it? Are we guilty of any of them? In the case of idolatry worship, we usually associate idol worshipping as praying to a carved object or to an image and bowing to it. We usually associate it in this manner. But as I look around me, around us here, no, we don't. We don't bow down to idols. We may have done so in the past, but we have repented. We are now people of God. But then, idolatry also comes in other ways. Idolatry also comes in a form of worshipping a cult image or someone as an idol, as though that person were God. So, some examples. In the 1960s, some of you will remember the Beatles, a very popular rock group. And after the Beatles came, men started to sport long hair. And so there was this Beatlemania that took place because there was this cult following. They became so popular, and there is this term used, Beatlemania. People were fanatically adoring the Beatles. And it's not good because it's a form of idolatry. It's also not good for the person who has received it. Because what happened was that, do you see this? What was declared? John Lennon, he said, "We are more popular than Jesus now." And I think he also said that the Beatles will outlast the following of Jesus. And that is blasphemous. And so when he made this statement in March 1966, initially it did not create any stir when it was published in a tabloid in London. But in July that year, 1966, while they were making a concert tour in US, what he said was repeated in a publication, and it generated such a stir that people boycott. And it was so bad that it affected the Beatles. The negative impact upon them was that we were told that they never again after that did a kind of a tour of this scale, a concert tour of this scale after that. Though they continued to remain very popular with their songs and so on. And so that was what happened. And later, John Lennon said, if it makes you happy, I will say sorry. So he told the people who objected to what he said, if it makes you happy, I will say sorry. So it doesn't look like it's a word of repentance. But in any case, the people forgave him, and so he continued with the concert. And you know what happened to John Lennon? In 1980, I think it was December of 1980, John Lennon was shot by this person called Mark Chapman. Mark Chapman was actually a fan of the Beatles. A fan of the Beatles, probably in the Beatlemania group. But later he developed a series of obsessions and became incensed with Lennon's lifestyle. He became jealous and was enraged with Lennon's rich lifestyle. And something got over him and he went to shoot Lennon in the back 5 times, 5 shots. 4 penetrated into John Lennon and it was the fatal wound. Idol worship also happens everywhere. You know the K-pop? Okay. By the way, the Beatlemania is still on. That particular picture, the colorful one, was taken in 2017. And today there's still some following of Beatlemania. Okay? So now we also have others, the K-pop. And from time to time you hear stories of what's happening. We also have American Idol. We also have Singapore Idol. And so, Taufik was crowned the first Singapore Idol in December 2004. Taufik actually graduated with a diploma in marine engineering from the academy that I was heading. But he never took on the maritime career because he became the Singapore Idol and he went into a successful music career. He was popular. I think he still is. Especially among certain groups of people. And so, was it in 2005 or 2006, we had an open house just prior to the joint admissions exercise. And then Taufik came. We invited him at the open house. And so a lot of people came, those aspiring to join the polytechnic. They came because there's this performance by Taufik. And then I entered the auditorium that Taufik was going to present. I chose to sit amongst the crowd. And then in front of me came a group of girls, very disciplined, pious looking with their headgear, and they were all seated in 2 rows in front of me. And then when Taufik came onto the stage, I couldn't even see Taufik because these girls in front of me, they jumped up and they cried out, "Taufik, I love you." Oh, okay, so idolatry. And sometime later, Taufik visited me in my office. And so I presented him with a cap. In appreciation of his visit, I presented him with a cap, so he took it. But actually that day, he came empty-handed. And so one of my staff gave him another cap. And then Taufik signed. He signed an autograph, and he gave this cap to me. Okay. No, I didn't make this into an idol. Okay, although I knew at that time there were others around me who would like to snatch it away from me. So, idolatry comes in various fashion. What's next? Drug abuse. You will say that amongst us here, there's no one in drug abusing drugs, and I believe you, right? We don't. But then, self-indulgence through drugs also includes a reliance, an over-reliance on drugs. So, if there's an over-reliance on drugs, it's also drug abuse. Okay, so be watchful of this. Obsession with pornography. Pornography is visual adultery. Okay, and so what is very concerning is that from the surveys conducted, of all forms of sexual immorality, pornography is identified as the most common one. And what is very alarming is this, that it was revealed in a summit recently that in Singapore, in Singapore, church members and church attendees, okay, are actually exposed to this 70%. So if we look around us today, it could be quite a high figure. Okay? And this is something that we need to be watchful for. And in this survey, it shows that out of the 70%, half of them had actually looked into or engaged in idolatry, pornography practices in that particular year. And so, it's very common nowadays, and we need to be very watchful. It may be unintentional. You use your handphone to do something legitimate, and then suddenly something pops up. What do you do when such a thing pops up? When you look at it a second time, and you look at it for 15 seconds, it'll go to 1 minute, it'll go to 2 minutes, and then after that, it will eat into your life, and then the next day, you will keep on wanting to look at similar objects. So this is something that we need to be concerned with and to be aware of. Love of money. It's okay to have money. It's good to have money. And I've got a friend, a colleague, who when we go for lunch, he likes to pay for us. And when he took out his wallet, it's so thick because he put a lot of cash in it. It's so thick that he has to put a rubber band over it. So every time when he wants to pay for us, I will laugh because he had to take off the rubber band and to pay. Yeah, and so it's good to have money, right? But what is wrong is the love of money. And the Bible says that for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. So it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. So check ourselves. Yes, I'd like to have money, but do I love money to the extent that I fall into this idolatry? Addiction, all kinds of addiction, gambling, one of them. And this is something that I found out only recently. Singapore is the second biggest gambling nation in the world after Australia. And the National Addiction Management Service reported that gambling addiction is on the rise in Singapore, and that the number of addicts seeking help doubled from 2010 to now. Addiction to the smartphone. Okay, are you guilty of this? We need to know how to use our smartphone well and not allow the smartphone to use us. And so when we are in a worship, especially, and then there's this inkling and an urge for you to take off your handphone just to say hello to somebody that you see, that is not honoring to the Lord. We are here to worship God, and then we are using the handphone or smartphone or some other way that distract us and distract others from the worship of God. Next is about relegating God-given blessings to glorify others or to glorify oneself. We all know that it is God who gave us the capacity to make wealth. It is God who has given us, we say it right, God, you have given me everything. And yet, if we make use of God-given resources, not to glorify Him, but to misuse the money on other things, that is also misusing. It's a form of idolatry practice. Yielding to various forms of attractions. I think many of us may fall into this if you're not careful. What about that handbag that you bought, the Gucci handbag, that may cost you thousands of dollars and actually you don't need it? And it's now in your cupboard and there are maybe 10 others and it's just there, right? Because there's this impulsive buying of such items. Any of you guilty of this? There was one first lady of another country. She had, while there were others walking barefooted, she had a collection of hundreds of pairs of shoes. And so, yielding to various forms of attractions and materialism. And, you know, this kind of idolatry, it could be a strong liking that you may have, but sometimes it crosses over and it becomes an idol. And you may not even know about it, that it has become an idol in your life. How vulnerable we all are, and unless we stay alert, we may fail and we may fall for it. And I'd like to share a personal testimony of how I almost fell into this kind of idolatrous practice. This was like 20 years ago. And it made such an impact on me that I remember this. And I told myself to be careful to never make this kind of a mistake again. And so this was more than 20 years ago. I had already started walking in the Lord in a covenant relationship. And so I had made it a point that whenever I want to make a major decision, whenever I want to make an expensive purchase, whenever I want to do something that concerns safety, I will come before the Lord and I'll ask for His approval. And if the Lord says yes, I will do it. And if the Lord says no, I will make sure that I will not do it. And so, there was this time that, and I was quite okay, you know, in managing my funds and so on, but I had a soft spot. And this soft spot was a passion for certain kind of cars. For the men, familiar? I've got this passion. And so I was prepared to pay extra. I was prepared to splurge on it. And then, one day, I saw this car was already launched about 2 years already, and I've been capturing image of this car, an Alfa Romeo. And I like it so much. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, can I have this car? The Alfa 146. Lord, I like it. Can I have this car? And then I had this Bible, this same Bible, next to me. And I said, Lord, will you give me your answer? And I came to this verse. Somehow, the Lord showed me this verse, which I never knew existed. It was like I read it for the first time. And it says this in Ezekiel 23, verse 34. It says, you will drink it and drain it dry. I said, yeah, okay. This car consumes a lot of petrol, but I can afford it. And then the next one says, you will dash it to pieces and tear your breast. I have spoken, declares the sovereign Lord. Wow, that shocked me. Okay, normally when I ask God for an answer, God will say, yes, go ahead. Or no, don't. But this one comes with a warning, a severe warning. I was very frightened. But yet, I was disappointed. I said, oh, I cannot have this car. But I knew that underlying it is a safety concern that the Lord forewarned me. Say, this, you get this car, you run the risk of a major accident. And so I said, okay, I won't get it. The very next day, I was driving, coming home from work, entering into the expressway. And then, from the corner of my eyes, this Alpha 146 came past from my right side to my left side. And then I said, wow, I like this car. An idea came to me. I said, Lord, yesterday you said, no, I cannot buy this car. But I was asking for a first-hand, a new one. Tonight, I'm going to ask the Lord, can I buy a pre-owned, a second-hand model? That midnight, all were asleep. My wife was asleep. I sat on my bed and I said, Lord, can I get this car, second-hand one? Okay or not? Then, no reply. Hey, maybe God is angry. Then, a few minutes later, I heard an inner voice. Not scolding, but it was a gentle rebuke. And the word was, that's idolatry. And I was shaken. I was shaken because I did not realize that my strong liking for an object crossed the line and it became an idolatry, and I did not even know it. And I was shaken by that. And I repented before the Lord. And I said, sorry, Lord, I have entered into idolatry. Thank you for telling me. And I made a kind of a promise. I said, Lord, I will not ask of you of this car again. Unless you give me a dream, and to confirm the dream, I will ask you again, can I get this car? And then, shortly after that, I got a dream. But it wasn't the Alpha. I was due to change my car, and in the dream, it showed me to go to a showroom that was of another make. And I wasn't excited because I had owned this car before, and so why go to this? So I went nonetheless because it was in my dream. So I went. And then I ended up buying a model from this showroom, and it was a model of a car that I had owned previously, just a bit of an upgrade, and then I wasn't excited about it. But as it turns out, I kept the car the longest, from point of purchase to the end of my COE 10 years later. And shortly after that, Elder Ken Chun asked me, because he knew I was looking for a car. So he asked me, wondered if he remembered or not. He said, so Roland, have you got your dream car? And I couldn't answer him. Because I got the car that I dreamt about, but it wasn't my dream car. Remember? Okay. And anyway, from that day on, I chose not to look at this Alfa Romeo again. Whenever it came on the newspaper, I'll just flip it. I refused to look at it. And then, what happened? In around 2013 or 2014, I dreamt of the Alfa. This was 15 years later. And it came, I dreamt of this Alpha. Can I get this car now? So, I prayed. As a checkpoint, I prayed. And the answer seemed to be, yes, go ahead if you want. So I started looking. And did I get the Alpha? In the end, I didn't get it. Because I found out that the idolatry that I had for this car had long gone. By the grace of God, and by choice, I had turned away, and then it was long gone. So now, I can buy this car, but I've got no desire for it. Okay, so why am I sharing this testimony? Because it's such an impact to me, because all the time I thought I'm disciplined enough not to engage in idolatry, and yet I crossed the line and I didn't know it. And I sinned. So, by the grace of God, I was kept And so I continued. So the golden calf in Exodus is a valuable lesson of importance, and we need to be alert and not to be complacent in our journey of faith. And we need to walk in our covenant responsibility so that we remain under the covenant blessings. Our desire must always be that the Lord will go with us, that we will be in the presence of God. And in other words, for the presence of God to be with us wherever we go, wherever we are. And for that, that we must continue in our journey of faith, faithfully unto the Lord, keeping our responsibility on our part of the covenant relationship with God. Because when we go off course, then that is where that misstep will lead us into sin. And so, what does it take to avoid this kind of idolatry? And here I have suggested a number of things that we can do. Firstly, to walk well in our covenant relationship with God, keeping His commands and obeying His words. And then to implement a spiritual habit, a kind of a spiritual discipline in our lives, that we will pray daily, we will pray and we will read the Bible daily. Okay? That keeps us on our toes with the Word of God. And that we will keep the Sabbath holy. And this is one aspect that many Christians have taken lightly. What does it take for us to be keeping our Sabbath holy? Thank you for coming here today on a Sunday. This is our Sabbath day unto the Lord. And we come as a congregation to together worship Him and honor Him. If we distract from this and we do our own things, it is not a worship unto the Lord. Okay? Do not do our own things. Yes, we live stream, and the live streaming of the service is for people who really, because of medical grounds or something, that they could not come to be with us. We live stream also because we have got people from other parts of the world that are tuning in to our message that we deliver. But it's not meant for people to, out of convenience, to stay in your house and to worship on your own, where you could have been here to join us together to pray. Okay? And then, do not neglect in meeting up in your cell group. And this verse says, and let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good works. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? So this is something that we do with fellow travelers. We have our cell group. We meet regularly to encourage one another. Okay? And then to be accountable to your mentor, to be accountable to your spouse. Okay? I think that's the best, to be accountable to your wife, and the wife to be accountable to the husband, and keep check on each other. Sometimes we do certain things that we didn't know is actually falling into sin. And the wife or the husband that sees this is obligated to point out that error. Okay? So be accountable to your husband or your wife. Later, in our small group, I would like you to identify the idolatry in your sphere of your life that you may be vulnerable to and how you think you can avoid it. Okay? So have it in as a discussion. And also identify any golden calf in your heart, and will you take action to cast it away? Because Ezekiel speaks against this kind of idols of the heart. And he says, these men have set up idols in their hearts. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Repent. Turn from your idols and renounce all your detestable practices. Okay. So there's a command given. Repent and turn away from the idolatry practices. And then discuss this. What are some spiritual disciplines you have adopted to keep away from idols? And I'm sure when you discuss this with one another, you will learn of best practices. Okay. Then, we sang this song. Oh Lord, may your presence go with us. This morning, there was a presence of the Lord upon us. And when we desire this and we walk in this way, indeed, God's reply is this: my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So, but before we sing the next song, which is that to worship God and to you and only you that I'll worship, is something that I would like all of us to sing from our heart as a prayer unto the Lord. And then, with that kind of a prayer and with the spiritual discipline that we put in place, God's presence will indeed be with us. And so, before we sing this song, I would like us, those of you who are receiving the Word of God and you are wanting to make a rededication of your covenant relationship with God, that you join me as I make this prayer. Can we rise? And before we sing this song, we will pray first, and then we will sing this song with all our hearts unto the Lord. So, in today's message, Moses led the Israelites and turned them back to the Holy God. To never forget what they saw, to never forget that what the Lord had done for them, and to never break the covenant with the covenant-keeping God. And this is the same message for us today. It calls us to renew our covenant with the Lord God. And if you are with me in this, I invite you now to join me in this prayer to renew our covenant with the covenant-keeping God. And as I pray, you follow along with me in your heart and you say amen. Lord, forgive us for forgetting all the many ways you have come and that you have done for us time and time again. We now renew our covenant relationship with you, and by your empowerment, we want to fulfill our part of the covenant and never to falter and never to break faith. So we come before you, Father, to make this covenant renewal prayer. Father, we come before you praising your holy name. Please forgive us, for we have turned our love towards the world. We have yielded to temptation. We have engaged in idolatry practices. And we now fully renounce all idols in our life. We cancel every invitation to evil. We close the door to evil and reject sinful influences in our life. We turn back to you completely and renew our commitment to you as our God and to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we invite the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to lead and guide us, and to empower us to fulfill our part of the covenant, and to live and to cherish you, O Lord, and to always walk in your presence. We will have no other gods before us. We will worship you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.